Go over to Colossians chapter 3. This is going to be our one another passage today. This is probably the hardest of the commandments to obey. Okay? For some reason, we just messed it up in our lives, but it's very, very important. We'll drop down to about verse 15, and I want to read verses 15 and 16. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So the idea that we want to talk about today is the idea of admonishing one another. There was a little girl one time who was memorizing Bible scriptures to repeat in their Bible class, and she just worked all week on this passage, and the teacher called on her come Bible class time, and she jumped up and she says, "Go into the world and preach the gossip to all the nations." And she just misquoted. I mean, she understood what she wanted to say, but boy, was she not very prophetic in what she said, because that's normally the way we do things. We tend to talk to others before we talk to the one we should be talking to. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about this idea of admonition today. It's very difficult for us to admonish one another because it calls for us to, I hate to use this word, but to meddle a little bit. You know, we've got to get into other people's business a little bit. And we don't know how that's going to be received sometimes. And so that makes us very tentative about going to someone. But there's a reason why God said for us to admonish one another. What do you think of when you think of the idea of admonition? What is it?
A correction.
A correction? Okay. All right.
Encouragement?
Okay. Think of anything else? Okay, all right. There's a lot of different words that's used there. One of them is instruct. One of them is to teach. One means literally to point someone in the right direction. Okay? And that's the idea of admonition. What that basically means is, as a body of Christ, we're supposed to be encouraging one another and helping one another. Okay? And if we see something that maybe is awry, that maybe someone has said or someone has done, or maybe their influence is maybe not what it ought to be, then we need to admonish that person, okay, to point them back in the direction that they ought to be going. It's not a slap on the hand and it's not a finger in the face type thing. That's not what we're talking about, okay? Well, okay. And so that's what I want to talk about today is not everybody, even though the command is there to admonish, not everyone needs to be engaged in admonishing until they know how to admonish.
Well,
okay.
The problem with admonishing is that how you are perceived, the person who comes and admonishes somebody else, if they think, well, why are you looking at me trying to pick the speck out of my eye when you got a plank in yours?
Okay.
And
that's what I mean. There's times when you don't need to be, maybe someone else needs to be the one that needs to admonish. Okay. But we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Literally, this word admonish means to point someone in the right direction. Okay. That's all we're talking about. Okay. It's a teaching thing. Okay. Now, have you ever heard the word constructive criticism?
Yeah.
What does that mean? You know,
I guess that's the idea.
Yeah, that's the idea. But I'm telling you, that's an oxymoron. There's no such thing as constructive criticism. Okay? Now, there's criticism,
right,
and there's admonition. Okay? Now, I don't mind being criticized. Okay? I don't want to be criticized, but I don't mind being criticized. If someone does that, with the right attitude and frame of mind. Okay. And I'll take that, okay? I'll take that as admonition, but I don't want to call that criticism. I'd rather call that admonition. Okay. But then there's other times when people just have the wrong attitude and you don't hear one thing they say because then once they started, you've turned them out and you blocked them. What I'm saying is that we can do more harm sometimes by criticizing than we can with our admonition. Okay? Now, here's the thing. This is something that we do not practice today. We just don't do it. The Scripture says, encourage and admonish one another. He says, if you have aught against a brother, if a brother has aught against you, go to them. Okay? Let's nip this thing in the bud. Let's get this straightened out. Let's point back in the right direction before it's too late. Okay? But we're so afraid to do that because we're so afraid of how people are going to respond to us, okay, that we just sweep it under the rug. Okay? Now, what happens if you've got a splinter in your hand and you don't get it out? It's going to fester. The same thing is true in the church. And I'm not saying, I don't like to, you know, compare that to a splinter, but I'm talking about an irritation. We're talking about something that's not right. We're talking about something that's gone awry. Something that needs some attention. Okay? And what did I say the meaning of it was? Is to point it back in the right direction. So the right direction is get that splinter out and let's get on with life. Okay? So there's ways to deal with that. And we'll talk a little bit about this as we go along. But the idea of admonition is not criticism. Okay? It is a positive approach to a situation that will help put someone back on the right path. Okay? We all need that sometimes, don't we? You know, every once in a while we just need somebody to come put their arm around us and say, come on, let's get back this way, you know. Okay? All right. So, think about criticism. Let's just talk a little bit about criticism. You've got these movie critics. Okay? They're going to go out and critique these different movies and these different plays. What is their basis for criticizing? They'll rate it, you know, 1 to 5, you know, and they'll give it something there. What is their basis for their criticisms?
What they consider to be really good.
Okay, what they consider, okay.
If somebody's deemed them an expert, so whoever that
yeah.
is,
yeah.
You're supposed to take their word for it because they're somehow...
Yes.
Okay, but now what are their guidelines?
It's their own?
Yeah, personal feeling. Have you ever seen somebody come out with a 5-star rated movie and you look at it and you go, what? You know, it's just the way people look at things, okay? That's what criticism is, okay? Criticism is an internal way of, it's subjective. What I'm saying is, it's subjective to the way that I feel. It's subjective to the way that I look at life, okay? Now, admonition is not subjective, it's objective. And what do we mean by that?
You have a standard.
Based on specifics. And what is our specific? The Scripture. The Scripture. Okay. Now, over in Romans chapter 5, we've already talked about this. Romans 5. We also talked about this in Romans 15. We talked about the church in Rome and how they had differences of opinion. And Paul, you know, said, well, that's okay to have differences of opinion. This was the eat the meat, don't eat the meat type of thing, okay? And what Paul was saying is, don't judge people by, you know, your opinions, okay? Different ideas are okay. That's all right. Don't do that. Okay, and so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about subjective criticism. We criticize people according to what we think is right. The Jews, who did not eat meat sacrificed to idols, thought it was wrong for everybody to eat meat sacrificed to the idols. And the Gentiles were saying, well, if an idol is nothing, and we just bought this meat in the supermarket, we didn't know it was sacrificed to an idol. So what makes it bad to eat? So Paul was saying, you know, stop arguing. That's not an issue. Okay, this was a matter of opinion. Okay, so when it comes down to matters of opinion, criticizing, you know, I'm trying to force people to do things the way I think they ought to be done. And Paul's saying there's room for opinions. Okay, there's room for opinions. And don't judge people based on opinion. But as far as admonition goes, that's objective, and that deals with the Scriptures. Okay? Now what I'm saying, if you're going to go and admonish someone, don't go over there saying, this is how I feel. Okay? Because that's subjective criticism. Okay? You need to have a book, chapter, and verse. Okay? Now I didn't say you had to always agree. Okay? So that admonition goes two ways. It goes to the one doing the admonishing and the one being admonished. Okay? There's responsibility on both people's part. If you come to me and admonish me for something you think shouldn't be done or that I did or maybe something that I said, I may not agree with you, but I'm going to respect and thank you, you know, for coming to me and saying that. Okay?
Isn't the admonishing kind of going on all the time anyway, especially when we gather together? Because when we listen to a message, it's Scripture, it's whoever's sitting there, that particular lesson might be for them to be painted. So it's not like somebody saying, okay, I'm going to admonish you, but it's happening.
Okay.
Because whenever Scripture is involved, and if you're paying attention and focused on it, it can admonish you to do what you're supposed to do.
Okay. All right. Yes, you're right. And that's what the Scriptures do. The Scriptures do admonish us all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. And so my idea with admonishing is if I see maybe a potential problem or maybe a real problem, I go with book, chapter, and verse in mind, okay, and my intention of is this is going awry. Let's point this person back in the direction they're supposed to be going. Okay. And I'm not doing it, you know, that's not what the idea is. The idea is for the harmony in the church. Okay. And go ahead.
Well, I noticed here on this whole verse that you had, that you admonish one another with songs and hymns. And you also do it, he's saying, just not only
that's correct.
The person teaching, but the person singing. And you admonish each other to encourage each other to get better.
And if we're sincere in coming here to worship, okay, we're going to be admonished by the things that we do. Okay, we're going to let those songs and those hymns and those prayers and a sermon, they're going to let those wash over us and help us to point us in the right direction. That's what it's all about. Okay, so that's the idea behind admonition. That's the difference between criticism and admonition. And I'm telling you, if you go to someone and you criticize them, you're going to erect a wall, okay, and it's possibly a wall that will never be broken down. Okay, so don't criticize anybody. You can call it constructive if you want to, but, you know, if you criticize, you're speaking from personal insights. If you admonish, okay, you're using Scripture, okay, and saying, this is the way I see it should be done, okay, this is what we need to do, or I'd like to see this, whatever the case may be. Those may not be good words, but the idea is to point someone back in the right direction. Okay. Now, what do we see in the church today? Do we see admonition? Do we see people going to one another and speaking to one another? No. Very, very rarely. Very rarely. We are afraid to do that. We're very afraid. And this culture in which we live in today, you know, what is the attitude of the culture? What do they say about people's lives and their actions?
Do whatever they want to do.
That's okay. You be you and I'll be me. Okay. And you do what you want to do. Yeah, yeah. What's good for you is okay, and what's good for me is okay. And we'll just let it go with that. Unfortunately, that's not God's way. Never has been God's way. And God doesn't deal with us according to what society thinks. He deals with us by the Scripture. And He says, admonish one another. Okay? So if I'm going to see a problem maybe, and I'm going to admonish someone, I'm not going to stand up in the pulpit and admonish somebody, am I?
No, the first thing you go to that person.
That's the idea.
You go to them
prayerfully. Okay.
You've probably got to have some sort of relationship to begin with that person.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, they're going to be like, well, who are you? I'm a psychologist.
Okay, you bring up some...
I know you, and you're coming
You bring up some good points, some very good points.
Travis,
okay.
The first five verses of Galatians chapter 6 is a primer on how to do that.
Okay. And I got it right there. Yeah, no, go ahead, go ahead. We're going to talk about that. Go ahead, finish your thought.
Well, we have a scriptural command.
Yes.
Yes. Modesty unruly. Not only there, but in 1 Thessalonians, modesty unruly. A little hint is given in 2 Thessalonians for that person who wouldn't work and they're supposed to mm-hmm. put themselves away. But it says, admonish as a brother.
Yes.
Well, how do you do that?
Yes.
Well, with their best interest in heart. And Galatians 6:1 says you do it. You do it in the spirit of gentleness. And there's one caveat. You have to look to yourselves first.
Yes. Okay.
To make sure you're in the right.
All right. All right.
As far as what? Your own standing in God.
Okay. Those are the guidelines I want us to keep in mind, because what Barry's telling us is exactly right. Okay. That's why I said when we started that some people ought not be the ones that go to admonish. I mean, we need to, but maybe not at that time, okay? And maybe we need to do a little internal look at ourselves first and make sure that, you know, that speck doesn't, well, in this case, it'd be a plank. We're trying to remove the speck with a plank, you know, in our own eye. You know, look at our lives and see if there, maybe there's stuff. And I'm not saying we have to be perfect, okay? Not at all. But it would be very hypocritical for me to go try to remove a speck when I've got the plank. Okay.
Well, the approach would be, I have the same problem. Let me show you what I do.
Okay.
And I'm struggling with this too. Can you help me? You make a communication there. You talk to somebody, and if they understand that you're coming from the same place, they're more likely to listen to you.
Okay. And if I do it in a spirit of love,
yeah.
Okay. With their welfare in mind, then they're more likely to accept it than they would if I just approached it with a holier-than-thou type of attitude. There we go. 2 Thessalonians. I knew it was in there somewhere. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I'd like to read verses 14 and 15. Now this is Paul. Instructions to the church in Thessalonica. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as what? A brother. Okay. So we're not doing this to spank somebody's hand. We're not doing this to point out people's faults. Okay. But now what is the guideline he said there? If somebody doesn't do what?
Obey
the things that we've written to you, okay? He said in this letter, but this we're talking about the gospel, okay? The things we've written to you in this letter, then, you know, you need to go and admonish them. But you need to treat them as a brother. You need to be respectful of their feelings, okay? And there's one other thing, too. When this is all done, you need to accept them, okay? Accept them. But, you know, there's guidelines for doing all of this. There's this guideline, and then there's the extreme guideline, okay, that we'll talk about a little bit later if time permits here. Okay, but that's what we're talking about when we talk about the idea of admonition. Now, let's talk about the purpose of admonition. Why do we have this command to admonish one another?
We're trying to all get to heaven.
Okay, you're right. I think sometimes we get messed up when we say we're trying to get to heaven. I know what we mean by that, but we're going, aren't we?
James chapter 5 pretty much spells it out.
Yeah.
It says, "My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth, and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death."
Okay.
That's the goal.
Okay, and I think over in Luke, I think like around verse chapter 7 somewhere there, it says that when that happens, when someone turns, there's rejoicing in heaven. The angels rejoice, you know. And so that's what it's all about. That's what we're here for. Now let me make an application. Everybody who's been a parent, we understand this, okay. I had a real problem when I was growing up. A lot of times my dad would get so frustrated with me because of my... Somebody always said I was hard-headed. I don't understand that, you know. But he would finally say to me, Just do it because I told you to do it. Have you ever said that? You've said that to a child? Okay. What's wrong with that attitude? We all do it, so I'm not criticizing anybody to do it, but what's wrong with that type of attitude?
Did he talk to you any better?
Okay. You know, my idea was that, okay, I understand that you don't want me to do it, but I want to know why. Okay, that was my idea. It'd be better, in my mind's eye, I was saying, if you tell me why I couldn't do it, maybe I would understand it better, you know. Well, that was my excuse for not doing it, really, but you know. So here's the idea. We teach our children, don't play in the street. Okay, but a lot of times we don't teach them why. Just don't play in the street. Okay. Now we put this in the way of admonition. It's okay to admonish someone, maybe don't do this, but they need to understand why. Okay. Now, what's going to happen if you tell a child, don't play in the street? What's he going to do? He's going to get out there on that curb as close to the street as he can. I know I can't get in that street, but I'm going to get as close as I can. And he's going to be out there walking on this curb, you know. Okay. Well, what's the idea about not playing in the street? Yeah, you're going to get run over out there. Okay, you're going to get run over. So that's why you don't play in the street. Okay, so if he understands that, maybe instead of walking on the curb as close as he can, we'll get back a little bit. Okay, and not only that, another part of admonition is you give to them an alternative. Go play in the backyard. It's much safer. Okay, so that's kind of the idea behind admonition. It's not just the idea of telling someone don't do something or to do something. We want them to know why and then present them with an alternative. Okay? Now, let's think about what can happen here. Can you think of anyone in the Scripture that might have been admonished? I'm thinking of one in particular.
David.
I think Peter was.
Okay, that's the one I was thinking about. Yeah, that's the one I was thinking about. Now, here we got an apostle. Okay? So, do you think you're too knowledgeable or too mature to be admonished? Here was an apostle being admonished. What happened? What was the deal? What was going on with Peter that caused Paul to admonish him? Remember what that was over?
He
says, I think this is over in, was it Galatians chapter 5? I think it's some Galatians somewhere over there, but Galatians chapter 2. Paul said, you know, hey, in fact, we'll go over and read that here in just a minute. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, 13. Peter had been over there with these Gentiles, and he had been eating with them and fellowshipping with them all along. Okay, now all of a sudden here comes some Hebrew Christians down there, some Jewish Christians down there sent by James. And what did he do when that happened?
He withdrew.
See, these Hebrews didn't eat with the Christian, with the Gentile. They'd been back in Jerusalem. They hadn't been faced with this situation, and to this point, they weren't eating with the Gentiles. So Peter withdrew eating with the Gentiles. Not only did he do that, but what did that cause other people to do? It caused others to pull away. And Paul says, even our brother Barnabas pulled away. Okay, so let's read that passage there. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. Okay. Now, have you ever found yourself in a situation where you felt people were shunning you? You know, that you were being ostracized for something? I've mentioned this before, and I've decided I'm not going to mention names and stuff anymore in my examples, because I think that's kind of uncalled for. But we had a situation, DJ and I did, where when we were going to school at Harding, we came here to visit my sister, okay, and we noticed a congregation that we hadn't seen before, okay, and we said, well, let's stop in there and worship there, okay. So we did. It says Church of Christ out there on the street, Okay? So we went in and we introduced ourselves and we told them we were here visiting from Harding, and all of a sudden, we were outside. Nobody would talk to us. You know, they wouldn't even come shake our hands. And I'm going, what's going on? What did we do? You know? Well, it turned out that even though it says Church of Christ out there, that they didn't support Christian colleges and so forth, you know. They're part of what we might call an anti-church, okay, even though they're Christians, okay. And so that being the case, because we didn't hold their beliefs or maybe didn't agree fully with their beliefs, you go sit over there, you know. And as soon as the service is over, you know, get out of here as quick as you can. That's the idea that we got from that, okay. So this is just an example. Okay. Now, put yourself in the shoes of these Gentiles. Peter had been fellowshipping with them here for several months. You remember Cornelius' conversion and how Peter went back and, you know, he talked about, you know, that they need to be accepted and everything. And now all of a sudden, down comes these Jewish believers from James and they turn them off. How do you think they felt? We're no longer good enough for you? You know, you think you're better than us? Yeah, you can see how people's minds work, okay? That's the way they were doing. And so Paul stepped in and he says, Peter, you know, he admonished him. What did he do? What did he mean he admonished him? Yeah, he said, according to the gospel, he reminds him, and he didn't, this is not his words, but he reminded him of who they were and what they were, and he pointed him back in the direction which he needed to go. That's what admonition is all about. Okay, we're not scolding somebody, we're not spanking somebody, we're not condemning somebody. We're, through the Scriptures, reminding them of where they need to be, or maybe where they were, and then point them back in that direction. That's what admonition is all about. Okay, I'm telling you, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's uncomfortable. Okay, and that's why the church doesn't do it today. But it is a command.
Do I know enough to go talk to them?
Okay. Okay. We're going to talk about that, okay? And I guess we need to get moving on here. I'm going to run out of time before we can do this, okay? First of all, let's talk a little bit about, I was going to mention others that need... I was going to mention the apostles admonished, preachers admonish, elders admonish. You know, and a lot of times we as a church say, oh, okay, good, the elders are taking care of that. We don't need to do that. But over in that passage that we read there a little bit later in Thessalonians, he says the church needs to do that also. Okay, so that doesn't leave anybody out. We're all there. Okay, but now in Thessalonians it says that in their knowledge they need to admonish them in their knowledge. And a lot of us will use that as an excuse, say, well, I'm not knowledgeable enough to go and admonish somebody, okay? What's wrong with that attitude?
One would not hear. If you're using Scripture, you don't have to be a Bible scholar.
Okay, okay.
You know, Scripture.
If you were the most knowledgeable Bible scholar in the world, would you know it all? No, absolutely not.
Peter okay. Didn't know.
No, yeah, well, obviously not, okay? What I'm getting at is, I don't think we're talking about, he said in knowledge, I don't think he's talking about, you know, in our knowledge of the Scripture, because if we did that, we would be using that as a weapon over them, saying, you know, I'm smart and you need to do what I say because I'm smarter than you are. Okay, and there are people like that in the world today. There's people that would want you to do that because I know more than you, I'm more educated than you, you need to do what I say. That's not what he's talking about. Okay, he's not talking about admonishing them so much through your ability to quote Scripture as he is allowing your knowledge of what you have to live through you. Does that make sense? Rather than working this way towards higher knowledge, we let the knowledge that we have work through us. But he says through knowledge of the Scripture. We all know how we ought to live. And we know if someone is sinning. We know that. Okay, and so through that knowledge, we go to them and talk to them. Now, it doesn't mean that we know where to go and find every verse that applies to the situation. You know, I can't quote Scripture. I remember what they say, but I don't necessarily can tell you exactly where they are. So I need some help along those lines. But that's the idea of what he's talking about there, as far as the knowledge is concerned. Okay.
You know, when we talk about Bob Brown, he had the knowledge, but he also had the humility to just sit with a person. Yeah. I noticed in the prison, he would just, he had their attention because they related to him. He was on their level. So, you know, that was a positive thing that he was able to do because of his...
You know, something else about Bob, we brought him up here. Bob was very good about when he would talk to someone, he would listen to them, and he would say to them, "I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you believe that." You know, and then he would take it from there and point out, you know, maybe how...
Make it better.
What I'm trying to say, he would build on that. He was very good at that. He never criticized anybody, and he never told anybody, "You're wrong." You know, that's what we don't do. Don't do that.
You need to come to that conclusion himself. It's much better to see it.
Yeah.
And if you come to that conclusion yourself based on Scripture,
right.
That's so much better.
I've got a big problem in my life, and I know I've got it. Okay, I try to deal with it, but if you come up to me and say you're wrong, the conversation's over right there. It makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck, you know. I don't want to hear it.
You already know.
Yeah, and most times I am wrong, okay. But you can tell me I'm wrong, but don't do it that way, okay. So that's what we do with our admonition. And we're not, like I said, we're brothers. We're trying to encourage one another. And that's what the admonition is all about. Now let's talk a little bit about our attitude. Okay, if I'm going to qualify myself, and I don't like to use that word qualified, but this that's the only one I can think of, to go and to admonish somebody, what type of person ought I to be?
Meek and humble.
What?
Meek and humble.
Okay, meek and humble. What do we mean by that?
Recognizing that we're sinners.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we're all in the same boat. Okay.
In fact, it's really kind of the entirety of the first two chapters of Romans are dedicated.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And it's really kind of neat that Paul, he itemizes 21 really bad sins and says that Gentiles are guilty of these things. And I can just in my mind's eye see the Jews saying, "You go get them, Paul." Verse 1 of chapter 2, what does it say? It says, "What right do you have?
You did the same thing." And you think about that church in Rome. Remember now, that was Jews and Gentiles side by side worshiping together. Can you think of two completely different cultures? You know, oh yeah, boy, I thought, man, talking about muddy in the water down there. It was muddy water. But they had to learn to live with one another. And Paul says, you can do it.
You know. His premise was, we're all guilty of sin.
Yeah, absolutely.
The approach that you have to begin with,
okay.
Recognizing the sin too.
I don't know of anybody who would punch you in the nose if you went up to him and put your arm around him and said, "Listen, I love you, but we need to talk a little bit." You know, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to listen to you, aren't they? May not agree with you, but they're going to listen to you. But if you walk up there and say, "Look, you're wrong. We need to get this straightened out." Conversation's over. You might as well go home. Okay. So you need to have that humble attitude, that loving attitude, okay? All right. There's something else you're going to have, and that's the idea of patience. Okay. You got to have patience with people. Okay. Just because you go to someone and talk to them doesn't mean that things are going to just automatically, you know, poof, magic wand, and everything's going to be better. It's not the way it's going to be.
Okay.
Sometimes. Sometimes it could be. Okay. But the idea is to point them in the right direction. Okay, so we need to think about that idea of peacefulness. We need to also demonstrate a little bit of thankfulness in our lives. We are where we are today because of someone else. Okay, and I'm not saying we couldn't pick up a Bible and read it and maybe get to where we are. Excuse me. What I'm saying is that we depend upon others to help us along our path, okay? And so I am where I am today because of people that have preceded me, okay? And I need to be thankful for that and understand that not everybody is where I am, Some may be more knowledgeable than I, and some may be less knowledgeable than I. But I'm going to tell you, I know people that know a lot more Scripture than I do that still have problems. And so that applies to me also. So I need to be thankful for where I am, but also be thankful for the fact that God is merciful to me, that He's patient with me, and that, you know, He's going to allow me to get better. Okay. There's another thing that we need to have, and that's the idea of goodness in our life. We need to be known for our goodness. Okay. Now, if I've got these things, if I've got patience and kindness and goodness, and also the knowledge. Now, when I talk about the knowledge, we've already talked about that. You know, I'm not talking about I need to be the best scholar, you know, in the church before I go to somebody. That's not what I'm talking about. I need to be able to have enough knowledge to know that someone is maybe practicing something they shouldn't practice, or doing something they shouldn't do, or maybe they've said something they shouldn't say, and be able to go to them and show them by the Scripture, not my opinion, okay, by the Scripture, and point them back in the right direction. And if I do those things with the right attitude, they're going to listen to me. Okay, they're going to hear what I've got to say, and that way I'm more likely to have a little bit of success with what I'm trying to do. Okay, if you go to someone and you're going to admonish them only for a violation of the Scriptures. Don't go and admonish them for their character traits, unless it's a violation of the Scripture. Okay, don't go and admonish them for something that they did that you don't like, you know, unless it's a violation of the Scripture. Have book, chapter, and verse there if you're going to do that. Okay, and people will listen to you if you do it with the right attitude. Okay, but you make sure first of all that your attitude is right, and that's the attitude we talked about with the plank and the speck. Okay, if I go to someone and I'm going to admonish them, and I've got a plank in my eye and I'm trying to remove a speck, I've got a problem. Yeah. Yes, sir.
He used to talk about loving each other. He used to talk about that all the time. If, you know, sometimes I believe some folks, and myself included, have a tendency to, if you don't think somebody's living right, or think that they, you know, you kind of tend not to talk to them and not to befriend them, and mm-hmm. You just kind of keep a distance. Mm-hmm. You know, they ain't like me. But if we're doing what we should be doing, if we're loving people and we're befriending people like we should be doing, even if we know that their lives may not be right, or, you know, they may involve, if we're acting like we should be toward them, mm-hmm. we will never, in a lot of cases, we will never have to go to them and do the admonishing, because that will turn them in itself.
Okay.
Because there's I'm just saying that's the way I feel about it. There's a lot of men in this congregation and women have influenced me over my whole life.
And that's admonition.
And if they hadn't have done that and mm-hmm. never, they never said a thing to me mm-hmm. when I was younger, maybe not as faithful as I should have been, and they probably knew it. Nobody ever said a word to me. But they still, every time I saw them, they were like my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
that's kind of what Andy was talking about a while ago, when we admonish in more ways than just one.
That makes you realize,
yeah.
Hey, I want to be like him.
Yeah. And if you know somebody cares for you, if you know somebody loves you, you can't help but, mm-hmm. you know, expect.
Right.
Yeah.
If you realize you're wrong, you want to do right.
Okay. Now, we're about out of time. I want to cover this real quick before we go. But let's take two attitudes. This is a real life example here, okay? A lady came into a guy's office one time, and she had a whole list of grievances. Okay. And she sat down in that chair and started shaking her finger and started pointing all these things out. Okay. And then she got down on her list and she said something about his wife. And he said, "Oh, conversation's over. There's the door." And so he ushered her out. Okay. So that he was taking it up until that point. Okay. Now, a little while later, there was an elder came in and talked to him in an elderly tone, very gentle. Okay. And very peaceful and did things just like we did. And he thanked him. Okay. About a year later, I realized that that elder was saying the same thing to me as that lady with her list of grievances said. Okay, but he showed her the door, and he accepted what the elder had to say. Okay, so that's what I'm talking about when it comes to admonition. You need to do it with the right attitude. Make sure that you're not attacking somebody, no personality, but only according to the Scripture. Okay? Questions, comments? Okay, appreciate your time.